Now, of course, if you go over Dr. Steve Pachinik's bio, he's probably been on the show 10, 12 times over the years. He is the co-author of Tom Clancy's books. He's the case that he's the person that the Jack Ryan character is based on. He's the advisor, technically, so the books are accurate. And, of course, he worked in psychiatry at Harvard. I mean, if you go over his whole bio, it's very lengthy. He wrote the book on psychological warfare for the State Department used by the CIA. And a question I've raised to him before that he's never really gotten into, and I bring it up, is the death of the Italian president, which the London Telegraph says reportedly was manipulated by Dr. Pachinik. He manipulated the communist into killing him. Perhaps today we'll get him to talk about that. I mean, this is somebody whose bio would take hours to go over, stevepachinik.com. And he joins us, and talking to the doc during the break, he said, no, this is the real deal. This is bona fide terror. He's creating a narrative to launch a whole movement. But isn't, and that's what I've been saying, but from another perspective, the globalists want a clash of civilization. The neocons talked about that, playing Christendom off against Islam, while then the globalists basically play the part of the arbiter or the referee and have a police state crackdown on the entire general public in the name of creating safety. This way, no one can be trusted, not whites, not Arabs, not Muslims, not Christians. Nobody can be trusted but Big Brother State and the telescreens, of course, now going in 9,000 locations, big TV screens saying, spy on your neighbor. I saw the preparation to this saying, white Al-Qaeda is about to hit. Give up your rights when white Al-Qaeda, the right-wingers are about to hit. The rise of the right on MSNBC saying Ron Paul and I want violence. We don't want open borders. We don't want globalism. We don't want a banker takeover. We're the terrorist. So I've seen this narrative being prepared, people's minds being prepared. So I called the day before. I said, white Al-Qaeda is about to strike. I said, it'll be right wing. They'll say it's in Europe and the United States. They'll claim it's militias that are against open borders and against the banker takeover. Well, voila, this guy comes out and says it. His Facebook has been changed from saying he's a Knights Templar Mason to that he's a Christian conservative. This was done after he was captured. The police knew his name when they raided the facility. But if you're going to stage terror, normally terror is staged that actually backfires on those that carry it out. That's why you can see that it's staged. In this case, he is trying to launch a giant movement. They wouldn't let him be seen by reporters when he confessed today. He may be whisked away into their famous mental institution, Soviet style. But enough from me. I've set the table with that. We've talked about it. But I really respect Dr. Pachinik's view. You know, he said the bin Laden thing is totally fake, the killing, and that the Situation Room video and photos were fake. Came out days later, they were. The throwing him in the ocean, totally fake. The whole story, not true. Now we've never seen the wives. Turns out Pakistan doesn't have them. So he's right there. He says 9/11 inside job completely, how it was carried out, you know, where it was planned, all of that information. So I really respect him. But why is he saying this is real? Dr. Pachinik, you've got the floor. But then I want to ask you, why then did I see this build up to white Al-Qaeda or white right-wing extremism? Were the intelligence agencies aware of this, and did they allow it happen? Did they allow it to happen? Or did they have their Google actuaries tracking chatter? How was this known?
Yep.
Doc, your phone is breaking up a little bit. Dr. Pachinik, specifically, what is going on with this event?
This is an event that I wrote about and was worried about 20 years ago in a novel that I wrote under the name of Alexander Kort, C-O-U-R-T, called Active Measures, and it started in Sweden and in Norway. This is unlike any other event we've ever seen. This is not just some right-wing screwballs. First of all, this man is exceedingly sane. Whatever else anybody's going to tell you, he is very sane. He's extremely calculated. He's very well-read. This is not a crazy man who suddenly decided to do something. He made it very clear what his motives were. And the reason he made it very very clear. This is the pristine case of terrorism that I've been waiting for and I've seen before, but this is not a false flag. This is not a stand down. This is not somewhere where suddenly any administration knew about an impending or wished for an impending right-wing movement. And I'll tell you why. Number one, his understanding of terror was absolutely perfect. He understood that terror is not the destruction of a building, it's not the destruction of any institution, but it is literally the creation of the emotion of terror. And he did it brilliantly. I don't think he did it alone. I think he had help, not at a particular scene, but he did have help from other countries, and I will talk about it. He blew up a building, which created enough terror because he did it at the right time when everybody was gone, and he did it under the building where the prime minister was, which means he was targeting the fact that they were extremely vulnerable, that the prime minister and the Labour Party is vulnerable. He could get them anytime he wanted. Then he took 1 hour to an hour and a half and went to an island and killed 80 white Aryan children who were the successor to political throne. Now, let me explain this. This sounds Machiavellian, but it is. In the words of terrorism, no one has pulled this type of exercise of distraction, distortion, and at the same time kill the very people you would not expect them to kill. Because if this were a plan or a false flag, unlike the other situations, he turned it around and did exactly what in terrorism one would do, which is to kill the very people he wanted to have associate with him.
Well, let me stop now, you, Doc, because let me stop
minute,
you.
Alex, listen to me. The analog to this is not McVeigh. It is not Al-Qaeda. You have to go back to 1922 and 1923. He's literally following the steps of the very people he's accusing, and that is Hitler. Hitler in 1922-23, when he was arrested to make sure that he was not executed. He did not want to be executed.
The beer hall putsch.
Listen, and then later on in the 1930s, he took all of the people around him who were Aryans and homosexuals and executed 300 of them in order to make a political deal. This man has understood, studied terrorism, has understood the integration of the icons of terrorism, the icons of Christianity, some of which are wrong. He understood Marxism. He understood exactly what multiculturalism. He understood that France refused to have multiculturalism, and he used as a target audience the problem of multiculturalism, but he didn't go out and kill any Muslims or multicultural elements. He killed his own people to explain that he is able to take down any political system. Then he very calmly sat down, explained his motivation so there would be no confusion as to the fact that he was nuts. I wrote about this 20 years ago in a novel saying that the banality of evil, it's not anything that's egregious. It is the banality of evil is the ability to affect this type of terror so that you can terrorize a system or country and eventually a world. Now, what makes him very lethal is that he will polarize and have around him all the white discontent men and women who are now looking to the right, in Europe in particular, and in Norway in particular. Now, what makes it very unusual is you have to understand what Norway is. Nobody's talked about Norway. I've worked in Norway. I know Norway. Norway is a country that had a history of collaborating with the Nazis, with Quisling. Remember the term Quisling, Alex?
Yes.
You have to explain to your audience. He was the prime minister and foreign minister of Norway during World War II and affiliated himself with the Nazis. So within Norway, you had a system where you had an understrain of the notion of being a monolithic Aryan people who affiliated with the Nazis. Now, in all due respect to the Norwegians, they also, in the fjords where I was, they fought the Nazis subsequently and held down 400,000 troops. So what I'm saying to you is this is not only an individual, this is a cultural confluence of Norwegian national character, where it's only 4.5 million, of the historical elements that they had in Norway, not in Christianity. Norway is not a great Christian country. It's a Lutheran country which is subjugated to the state. So his pronouncements of Lutheran, of Christianity, is really the deification of Catholicism, which churches in France, totally different. His understanding of Christianity is mistaken, because the Knights of Templar did not come from any Aryan country. They came from the areas that I grew up in France, in the south of France, in Toulouse, and they were basically wayward individuals who had no work and were then empowered by the Pope to go forth into Jerusalem and eventually became exceedingly corrupt. Now, having said that, my point is, this is a perfect execution of a terrorist act without destroying a building. I mean, he created a destruction of a building, but he created terror throughout the system in order to mobilize a political party. Now, can the CFR and other governments have the repression subsequent to that? Yeah, but do they intend to do that? No, and I'll tell you why. No system, including our own system, is that smart or that clever or capable. The stand down and the false flag that occurred in 9/11 was done in the Bush Jr. administration with neocons and ones who understood in a backward, almost a reverse way. They were so clear and so awkward in their stand and false flag that it was easy for me and others who knew the intelligence community to say this was false flag.
All right.
This is not a predictable element.
All right, we've got a break. We're going to come right back. I've got my points to make. And then your phone calls are coming up with Dr. Steve Pachinik. I just see the... Well, Dr. Steve Pachinik is an expert in terrorism, on terrorism. That's why he's the advisor to some of the most best-selling authors out there, like Tom Clancy, and co-author of many of those books and major films. But I look at this, and I see the neocons saying we want to invoke a clash of civilizations between Christendom and the Muslims. And so the way this is launched, undoubtedly, they're going to be real copycats that take up this entire military manual on how to do it, who to attack, what their views are, that it's meant to generate, kind of like Carter setting up Al-Qaeda in 79. Sure, the command system's run by the West, but it's a idea that then gets picked up and actually organically carried out. So that's how you have staged Al-Qaeda, synthetic Al-Qaeda versus real Al-Qaeda. And so I see this launching the clash of civilizations, but then the governments that have been hyping that this is coming, they can then come in and say, now we've got to take everybody's rights. No one can be trusted because, see, the right-wingers that don't like the banker bailouts, that don't like open borders, who don't like cultural Marxism, they're bad guys. I mean, I see this really helping the corrupt ruling establishment. Dr. Pachinik, I'm not saying I disagree with you, and I do see the point that stage terror always hits a target that hurts civilians. It's never really striking the ruling class. I mean, real terrorists would go after David Rockefeller. They'd go after Lord Rothschild. They'd go after the Queen of England. They would go after, real people at their houses. I mean, it's easy to kill people. Why do they usually hit some public place? Well, that's to scare the public because the state or elements of it are attacking the people. They want you to run into their arms, so they attack you. I mean, I get what you're saying, and that's why this whole case has given me a headache, but we also have his Facebook being altered from this Knights Templar.
Alex, there are times when we don't agree, but we do agree. I want to do a little footnote. In June, you and I talked about the British collusion with the media and the press and the king. And I told you they were corrupt. The intelligence community was corrupt. The press was corrupt. 6 weeks later, the whole Murdoch issue comes out, and you and I were right. All right? And the BBC, who were sitting there, you forgot to mention that. So we were right.
No, but you said all their major media is government intelligence.
And the police department was involved. Scotland Yard was involved. So you and I are correct. We're often very aligned in what we say. And there are really collusions and there are corruptions. This is not the same case, my friend. And the reason I argue that is this man did target the prime individual he wanted, and that was the prime minister. But more sinisterly, and this is where you have to understand, and I'll go into the neocon. There's no neocon who's smart enough, calculating enough. Most of them are chicken hawks. They're cowards, whether they're Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Hadley. All of them were just sycophants and panderers. This is not a sycophant here. You're talking about a man who deifies being alone. and the ability to be alone. And let me go into that. So you have to understand a little bit about Norway, and I want your listeners to understand.
Yeah, the power of
Norway
one.
Is, wait a minute. Norway is a monolithic country. It's 4.5 million people. They have no debt, unlike the United States. They have a cash flow that's constant because of the North Sea oils. They have constant oil. They are a socialist country for the most part. They have a king and queen that's very little. But they have a history of the individual being a very strong person. Now, I don't want to get too cultural on you, but many people in the audience have to understand this. Norwegian are great people. They produced a man by the name of Henry Gibson, a famous playwright, who we still do the Dolls have, but more importantly, he wrote The Master Builder, which is exactly what this individual is saying when he quotes Jonathan Milton, and he says, the individual is more powerful than the society. This man is saying, in effect, with no neocon, no government, no other institution has been able to argue or suppress that the individual is without need, and the individual of belief can create more disaster than the individual who has some interest. This was also written by Ibsen. They then had another famous writer by the name of Knut Hamsun, who won the Nobel Prize in Literature, who reaffirmed, again, the Norwegian cultural element that talks about the misery of the state and the society and the importance of the individual. So you have to, Alex, with all due respect, you are your scholar in your own way, to understand what makes Norway different from the United States and the neocons here. And the neocons aren't relevant. We do not have a society
Doc,
the FBI is going to suppress you or any. No, mm-hmm. Listen to me. I know where our capabilities are. We don't have a military that will come down and take us away. We don't have a system that's able or willing or capable to take us all away.
That's why it's all happen. A big psyop. We've got to go to break.
Listen, if you see nothing in Hollywood, i.e. Washington, D.C., you've seen the follies and incompetence of a dysfunctional government, both on the right and the extreme right, with your Ron Pauls and all the other guys who talk about social conservative.
Okay, we're going back to Dr. Steve Pachinik with some very insightful information. I have studied the sociology, the anthropology of Scandinavia. My wife has lived there. They're all about being individuals. And that's why it's one of the few places socialism quasi works, because they individually agree on a collective of socialism, but the individual is above all else. And Pachinik, who's a psychiatrist, board-certified examining psychiatrist, wrote psychological warfare manuals for the U.S. government. He's gone over all this. We're going back to him in just a moment. Before I go any further, this is one of the most popular items we've ever offered. You need to remember, this radio show is listener-supported. And so your purchase of books, videos, DVDs, T-shirts, they not only get the word out when you show friends the videos or make copies of them or wear an InfoWars.com T-shirt or pass out a citizen rule book, you also fund our operation. And we got these made in America. The filtration system's made in America. The stainless steel outside is Chicom. But the point is, we couldn't find one totally made in America. It's bisphenol A free. It does over 100 gallons. And it removes 99.9% of basically everything. Nothing removes 100%, but it reduces everything. It's the Aqua Vessel, InfoWars.com, emblazoned there. And these are almost sold out. And we just put another order in. There'll be some more in next week. But if you want to get these, they're available at InfoWars.com. Or you can trust the government and drink the toxic tap water that they shovel at us. And, of course, we're also adding, starting September 1st, the weekly nightly radio show that's already simulcast via television. We're going to add a 30-minute news show that comes on at 7 o'clock Central every evening, stream live out to everybody. And we're also going to be adding other special live reports and events at PrisonPlanet.tv. So if you support what we're doing, sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv today. Okay, let me stop right there. My issue is that governments have been caught staging terror attacks over and over and over again. Private corporations do it. Hitler did it with the Reichstag and Gleiwitz to start World War II. At Gleiwitz, he used Reichstag to seize more power in February of 1933. We've seen army manuals on how to stage false flags. We've seen countless examples of this. So that's why out of the gates, I always look at things and ask who benefits. And I saw this huge buildup that, okay, we're not going to brand terrorism as Muslim anymore. We're going to move it over to conservatives who don't want a new world order. Now, this guy reportedly attacks, reportedly confesses today, but we're not allowed to see that on camera. His Facebook gets altered. The police knew who he was when they got there to the island. But then on the other side, he picks an island for the idea of psychological isolation and the fear of being shot while you're swimming on vacation and the children of the socialist elite and the multiculturalist, sellouts, as he calls them, being killed. If he would have targeted the Muslims, it would have made them the victims. Instead, he went after the true ruling class that he saw as perpetrating it. I see the precision. I see the clear-eyed way he did this. I understand that the people in Scandinavia are normally the folks that, you know, climb Mount Everest and are into all of this, you know, extreme long-distance sports. I understand the psychology. And he wanted to sell the idea that the individual lone wolf can bring you down anytime we want. That's why 90% of warfare is psychological. The system creates the idea you're powerless. They build giant capital buildings to make you feel like you're little because it's the opposite. And I agree, his message of you are the individual, you are unstoppable, is the polar opposite of what neocons and liberals and collectivists push. The only way they would trigger this is to create, and they did this with Al-Qaeda, the idea of the individual, the army of one, that the U.S. military talks about, to sell the idea of a clash in Europe with the Muslims. And some would say that points towards Israel. So, Dr. Pechenik, you've got the floor, and then I want to go to calls. We'll keep you summoned to the next hour to get more into the info, but I promise to go to calls during this hour. But I understand where you're going with all of this, and I know you've read over his material, show of eyes. Break down exactly where you're going with this, and then the $64 million question. Clearly, he's saying he didn't work alone. Other cells are about to strike, and boy, what a favor he's giving the establishment, because they're not going to be able to stop these cells, whether they're behind him or not. They're sure going to be able to demonize Alex Jones and Ron Paul.
I don't think they're going to demonize Alex Jones or Ron Paul or even me or anybody else. What this is about is not even relevant about you and me or anybody who says they state that they're the extreme right. The state at this point is totally impotent. It has nothing to do with this act of terror. This act of terror is bred, as I said to you and you said, out of their own influence of culture and a man who has been systematically working out on the philosophy, methodology, not alone, but as it was said in 2002, he met with a group of others in England. I suspect that British intelligence knows a lot about this and will assist the Norwegians. But more importantly, what this is about is to literally say what he said, which is to polarize the system. In short, let me call this a virtual putsch, a P-U-T-S-C-H, which is what Hitler did in the 1923s by creating a situation where he could create agitation, kill his own people, eventually the long knife, and this is a virtual push. He says very clearly, Berwick says, there are situations in which cruelty is necessary, and refusing to apply necessary cruelty is a betrayal of the people whom you wish to protect. No government will go out and allow an individual to kill 80 children. That is counterproductive to terrorism and allying sympathy in order to have a group, other than the fact that you have an individual who's saying, look, I'm above all the laws, above all government systems, and above all ideology, and he spells it out. There's no neocon, there's no individual in our government who can sophisticatedly put this all together. You overestimate, and many of the people who listen to you overestimate the effectiveness of a government, any government, to effectuate any counter-terrorist movement or even a terrorist movement. The false flag and stand down at 9/11 was done in preparation over a period of time by two guys who were very clear about it. That was Bush Jr., Rumsfeld, and the neocons. I knew about that a long while before, and I was against it. This is very different. This has been in preparation for a long while, and my suspicion goes to Sweden, because in Sweden, where I wrote about this book 20 years ago in Active Measures under the name Alexander Court, I pinpointed the rise of the neo-Nazis and the Aryan supremacy, which, by the way, the Swedes are not Aryan, and the use against the Christian religion, which they're not Christian, by the way, it's Lutheranism subsumed underneath the nation state to attack Muslims so they could stop the immigration of Muslims going through. This was not an attempt to polarize the system into allowing the state to suppress the individuals. That's the act of terrorism. This is not what he's saying. He doesn't want the state to suppress the individual. He wants to say that he and other individuals will suppress the state, and that in this world of the 21st century technology, where he can use a semi-automatic weapon and kill 80 kids in 90 minutes and be able to blow up a building with ammo, he can be more effective than 100,000 people. And he's absolutely right. He proved it. I think it's a big mistake to compare this to Al-Qaeda, McVeigh, or anything else. This is what we say in the business, sui generis. I've been waiting for this type of pristine terrorism, and it sounds cynical, to work with it and say, how do we stop it? Because his attempt is to basically create an army, a virtual army of individual terrorists under the rubric of Christian, which he mistakenly calls Catholic because the Knights Templar were Catholic, and they were also of many other disreputable elements. And he's saying to those others, I want you to arise as individuals, not in the group. This is a very different message. This is what I call the 21st century neo-Nazi movement, but it really mirrors much more Hitler's rise to power.
Well, let me ask you, you say you've gone over his material. Are you seeing neo-Nazi stuff? Because there's a lot of Islamophobia, and he quotes a lot of neocon Jewish writers. Are you saying he's a neo-Nazi?
Well, I'm saying for want of any term, he's a 21st century virtual terrorist. He knows exactly how to use the icons, the music, and he knows how to put it all together. He knows how to quote Franz Kafka. I mean, he says he's inspired by Franz Kafka, The Trial. Franz Kafka was a Jew. He doesn't care all that much about religion as much as he cares to mobilize all the elements of mixed ideology, including communism, which he's against, although he doesn't realize that he's acting very much like Stalin and Trotsky. He's a Trotskyite. Like many of the neocons, he's a Trotskyite, which means, in effect, he didn't understand the full understanding of what he was writing about. A Trotskyite believes in revolution, irrespective of what your religion and ethnic.
Yeah, no, that's their big. Well, they believe in blood. Now, blood flowing is their little secret chant. Now, let's go back here, though, because I got an email about this and I looked it up. I hadn't heard you on Coast to Coast, but you just mentioned it, and I went and found the quote. But you said you knew about the 9/11 plan, or you just alluded to that, before it happened. So let's digress into that. You're saying you know who was specifically involved planning 9/11, and the report was...
You know, you and I have talked about that before.
Not on this show. You said 1991.
I've been on your show. I predicted correctly that Osama bin Laden would be put out. I didn't stop it. I didn't know exactly what the plan was, but it's not a very difficult plan to figure out. If you've got Paul Wolfowitz, University of Chicago, trained under Wolfstetter, who writes a book on Stand Down and False Flag of Pearl Harbor, you don't have to be a psychiatrist. If you know who Elliot Abrams is, and he's a counselor in foreign relations, and he's been involved in all kinds of chicanery for 20 20 years under different administrations, it's not difficult.
This Why do criminals, as a psychiatrist?
What we're talking about. I said it 10, 11 years ago. I fought my battle. I worked with those in the system who I won't identify to get rid of Rumsfeld, to get rid of the neocons. And then what happens? Your governor, Perry, goes, and who does he go to talk to? Doug Feith, the worst of the neocons, the stupidest of the neocons, and Don Rumsfeld. So you tell me about stupidity, my friend. How does it perpetuate itself in the Republican Party when you have a Mitt Romney who claims he's American, yet his father was born in Mexico, and he doesn't want to tell the truth? So why don't we talk about the disinformation of the people who are continuously there and stop talking about this national conspiracy? What we have is sociopathy in this country. We have two Mormons running, both of whom are incompetent, both of whom are lying to the public, and the Republicans are saying to you, you know, we're going to put an idiot like Michelle Bachmann, who talks about abortion and stupidity, and was a prosecutor for the IRS and telling you about Tea Party notions.
No, I know.
That's not stupidity.
Doc, I want to shift.
My point to you is the government or the system isn't working, my friend. It's not that effective. What we have here is a very effective, pristine act of terror that has far greater significance than any government. It means that there's virtual terrorism. That's why I wrote a series of books called Cyber Terrorism, Cyber Nation, and Active Measures. Those of us who understood it, I could predict it, but I had to use fiction. But we have to talk about a system that's dysfunctional, my friend, and your audience has to understand that. They're presented with a president who can't make a decision, we've talked about that, who's ineffectual, who holds the whole country hostage to a debt limit where we could lose our credit rating. Now, if that's not terrorism, you tell me what is.
No, I hear you. You're absolutely right.
No, it's not just you hear me. This is really dangerous because the markets are already saying if we keep playing this chicken game, it's very dangerous. And on the other side, you've got a moron like Bonner and Cantor, both of whom are totally dysfunctional and represent their own interests. So now,
well, Doc,
tell
listen,
me, Alex, and ask your audience, who in fact represents this country? The United States of America and our soldiers and the ones who come back and our jobs that we need. Nobody's addressing it.
Yeah, Doc.
You got one moron, Michelle Bachmann. You got this guy, Karn, who's a pizza king. And you got two Mormons who are disasters. Huntsman was my ambassador to Singapore. He can't run his own campaign. He put in $2 million and he doesn't even know how to run a simple campaign.
Sure, Dr. Pachinik.
He's telling you he's a business.
Dr. Pachinik, I've promised to go to phone calls, but I want to put bookends on the terrorists right now, if I can ask you, and then later we'll get into politics here in just a minute.
No, but it's relevant to this because we have a dysfunctional system, and you're telling me that this system can create an entire suppression of the U.S. people? It's not possible, my friend.
Well, we're going to get in. We'll get into your research into the political rot and the level it's reached, and I agree to you to a certain extent. You just have the bureaucracy and others. And when they do carry out staged events like the bin Laden killing, it is shoddy. It is very obvious versus what's happened with this killer, this reported killer over in Norway. But finishing up with that, when he talks about other cells, at least two other cells and more attacks, and you talk about the fact that he didn't write all this and he didn't put all this together, who do you think's behind this?
Well, I think the Swedes are very much involved with this. There's no question in my mind that part of this organization has Swedish inputs because the Swedes were very much involved in the 1990s when I wrote that book 20 years ago in terms of creating the rise of neo-Nazi and the so-called, quote, Aryan supremacy, when in fact Sweden has a very dangerous history. And that's what I want to get into so people understand this. This is not against all Swedes. The Swedes proclaim neutrality. In the meantime, the famous Wallenberg family, who was supposedly saving Jews, that was a false flag issue because they were ordered by the OSS, a guy named Niels Bohr, the famous physicist, that one of their sons had to either rectify the name. And instead, you had Nazi elements in Sweden that has never changed. First of all, the Swedish king during World War II was a Nazi, was a German. Pro-German. You had Mark Wallenberg, who was developing armaments. Then you had Jacob Wallenberg, who supported the Nazi Party. Sweden allowed 440,000 Nazis to go into Norway and broke the neutrality and allowed the Norwegians to fight them. So on one hand of Norway, you had Quisling. On the other hand, in the fjords, you had all the men and women of Norway fighting the Germans and holding down 440,000 people. So the roots of Nazism comes through Sweden. Not Norway, even though you had a Quisling. And you look at Sweden underneath that false flag and underneath the deception and propaganda of neutrality, you will find the roots of the rise of the neo-Nazi in the 21st century. And that's what I would look at.
Well, it is something that we need to continue to research. I just see a Freemason in the Scotland shooting being used to ban guns in the UK. I see the Freemason with the Tasmanian situation in Australia being used. And now this guy was meeting at some type of Knights Templar meeting in England. The whole thing reeks of British intelligence, but you're saying it doesn't. Well, okay, I'm going to get Dr. Pachinik to repeat what he said once we went to break. He's on cell phone, so he doesn't hear the music when we're going out to break and kept talking. I wanted to be able to finish his statement when I talked about the British intelligence connection. And then I asked Dr. Pachinik, former top counterterrorism specialist, wrote the book for the State Department on it, carried out many of his own operations himself. Will this guy be successful? And you know, what group does he think is behind him? And then I promise we're going to your phone calls for those that have been patiently holding. I'm going to get to you. Dr. Pachinik, go ahead and repeat what you were saying.
Well, I said that he had a meeting in 2002 in London with the Knights Templar, where the group was founded. I have no doubt in my mind that British intelligence, MI5, had monitored. If, in fact, there is any affiliation to MI5 or MI6, this will be very, very serious for England, especially after you and I predicted correctly that Murdoch was involved with Scotland Yard and British intelligence. But if this is the case, England is in very serious trouble. I hope it's not the case, but I can't rule it out. The other members of the group, as I said, have Swedish influence. There's no question in my mind that he has been influenced throughout his thinking and preparation by the Swedes and other members around Northern Europe, possibly Germans and others who know propaganda and theory. There's a very clear understanding in his presentation, and I called it a cyber terrorism presentation, because he's using the Internet to brilliantly present propaganda through icons, music, and weapon systems, and creating an ideology and fear through that Internet without necessarily attacking any other institution other than the fact that he wants to promulgate his ideology and make himself the virtual head of the virtual entity called the 21st century neo-Nazi movement. This has nothing to do with Christians in America or the patriots in America or citizen patriots, but it will appeal to many people who are disaffected in Europe and around the world, with unemployment, with lack of jobs, and with immigration. And this is where we have to be very careful, because our own intelligence system better be on top of this. They have to get a group that thinks out of the box, not in the box, and they better start understanding what this is about. This is a form of terrorism that's on steroids. I have waited for this for 20 years. This is unlike anything we've seen before. He will stay alive, and quite frankly, in the world of terrorism, by definition, he is already successful. He has created the terror that he needed. Whether we approve of it or not is not relevant, but he will continue to be successful. Wow. Because he has been able to promulgate his theory, explain it, and appears normal. He is not abnormal, and he is not crazy. It is a big mistake to categorize this individual as anything other than a very calculating cold killer. And you can say whatever you want, neo-Nazi, Christian, I don't believe he's any one of those other than a power grabber and a virtual putsch, which means he's going to be the virtual leader of a 21st century cyber group that will, in fact, confront the issues that the white person feels in a time of dysfunction.
Well, he had to know that he's only going to serve a maximum of 21 years under Norwegian law, that's 81 days per person killed. But thank God now they've lowered the number of dead to 76. So that is certainly some good news that that number has been lowered. Now I promise to go to calls, Dr. Pechenik, and I'm sure they'll be all over the map, but you can spar with them back and forth. You know, quite frankly, I don't know if I hope you're right or I hope you're wrong, because it's frightening to think that government intelligence agencies would do something like this to go after the general public, you know, to rebrand the war on terror to everybody. That's frightening. But to think that there is somebody who pulled a Hitler, where he marched on, you know, from the beer hall to the government building to take over, and a bunch of people got shot in that street battle, and then Hitler was put in jail for a couple of years and wrote Mein Kampf. My struggle, that was certainly all scripted. We'll be right back with the third hour.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're into hour number three. We're going to get a different perspective from Webster Griffin Tarpley coming up in about 30 minutes. Dr. Steve Pechenik's our guest for the next 20. I promise to go to your calls, and I want to hear from you, and I appreciate you holding. Before Dr. Pechenik leaves us, we'll also get into his view on the rotten state of the political ruling class in this country. His websites, of course, stevepechenik.com. Our sites are infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. If you don't know who Dr. Steve Pechenik is, he's a best-selling author in his own right many times, and also co-authored many books with Tom Clancy. He's also worked on IMDb. You can look at his film filmography of all the major TV shows and films he's been involved in that have been turned into films via his books. And he, of course, I need to get him on sometime just about his years at the State Department and doing intelligence and assassinations and things like that. Because it's very informative and interesting, not just giving his view on what's happening currently. Right now, Tommy, Dean, Brenda, Tanner, Aaron, we'll at least get to you five on whatever subject you want to raise, because I know Dr. Pechenik can cover it, but I would imagine it's about the shooting. Tommy, from Norway. I didn't realize you were from Norway and been holding for over an hour. Sorry, Tommy, I wasn't looking at where you called from. I would have gone to you earlier. Tommy, thanks for holding.
Oh, well, that's fine, Alex. It's my first time calling in ever. I've been listening to your radio show for some time now, and, well, I'm kind of nervous, but I have a couple of questions, actually. I started just off with one. DLD in Norway, the Data Storage Directory, directly translated, is a law which the Labour Party actually last minute switched on and actually got forced through, I think, where they are going to store all the data on every individual citizen that they do online for 6 months prior to deleting it, and that's going to be the law here in Norway.
Oh, yeah, they're going to go after your guns, everything, and you see the buildup to white Al-Qaeda is going to get you. You know, I don't want to disagree with Dr. Pechenik, but and I understand his view on this. He doesn't think British intelligence is competent enough, but you know, Western intelligence created Al-Qaeda and a narrative that got Muslims to pick up on it, even though they weren't part of the controlled arm. I mean, is it not unwise, Dr. Pechenik, to underestimate the intelligence agencies? I mean, I know you worked in and around them, so I'm not poo-pooing what you've said. I just see too many signs of chicanery. I mean, they may have found and profiled somebody who was intelligent, and would fit and would do what he was nudged to do, but you yourself said he couldn't have acted alone.
Yeah, but when we talk about the intelligence agencies, with all due respect, my condolences, Tom. I have great respect for Norway, and I've enjoyed my visits there. You assume, I want the public to understand, the intelligence agencies are really multiple and very diversified. In the United States, we have over 16 different intelligence agencies.
And there's factions within each one.
I'm sorry?
And there's factions within each, yeah.
And there are factions with within them. And you're not talking about one individual that has this incredible super brain that thinks out everything. There are intelligence agencies that deal with espionage, intelligence agencies that deal with satellites. I mean, I don't have to go into specificity. Then you have the National Intelligence Estimate Board. All of these, particularly in our country, have diversified opinions. And believe me, the last thing in the world you want to do is to sit there and claim that there's this monolithic entity that has a monolithic idea about what it is we should or should not do. It all gets filtered, usually, in a briefing to the President of the United States, and even he is not often aware. Eisenhower, our brilliant president and general, often said, you need a certain kind of genius to run our intelligence service. And what he meant by that is no one, not even he, as a great president as he was during the wartime, really understood how the CIA worked on their own. They're highly individualistic. Nor did he have a full understanding or appreciation of all the intelligence.
All right, stay there, Doc. Although, got a break. Tommy, do you want to add anything else when we come back from Norway?
Yeah, actually.
Stay there. We're going to come back to Tommy from Norway, Dr. Steve Pachenik. All your calls are coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Three, Dr. Webster Tarpley joining us to give us his perspective on the kickoff of the new branding of terror. And regardless of whether it's real or staged, they're certainly going to use it to take our basic liberties and freedoms. They're calling for massive gun control after a guy went in and shot and killed five people in the DFW area of North Texas yesterday. And the issue is, no matter how much gun control you bring in, just like Mexico, total gun ban there for the citizens, people are still going to get guns, and that only makes disarm people victims. But Dr. Steve Pachenik is our guest. Tommy in Norway had more comments, and then we'll get Dr. Pachenik's take on it. Tommy, calling from Norway, what was your other point?
My other point was that most of the youth parties in Norway was against DLD, and the one that was leading that resistance was actually the Labour Youth Party, which then was the people that were mostly on this island that was shot.
Dr. Pachenik, your statement on that?
Most of the... Tom, would you repeat that again? What was that?
Yeah, most of the youth parties in Norway was against the DLD, the Data Storage Directive, to monitor all internet traffic of every citizen. And the youth party that was actually leading this was the Labour Party Youth Party, as I understand it. Going against the grown-up party, in a sense.
Well, I think it's an excellent point, but I think what I see in this man's ideology is way beyond the particular ideology of restriction of data. It really leads into the notion of why he should be the leader of really what would be a new type of people who would be forward. Expressing what I said to you before, you know, the notion of the individual being superior to any ideology or state. And, it echoes in the Ibsen play, The Master Builder, and Knut Hamsun. If you see it in many of the cultural elements in your own history, you see that notion, not of the superiority of the individual, but the superiority of the strength of the individual and the willpower of that individual. I don't think he was as much concerned about what that ideology stood for as much as it was an ideology that he could counteract and impose his own will on it. That's why he liked Kant and why he reinforced. He's very clear about his philosophers, many of whom reify and deify the notion of the strength of the willpower and the will to die. And actually, he very closely mirrors the theories of Trotsky and of Stalin and of Hitler. Interestingly enough, as a side point, Stalin and Trotsky, when they were revolutionaries, and Lenin, were brought into British intelligence in the early 1900s. And, you know, contrary to what the Brits have said, they were there and they were had a discussion with them. So I don't know what influence Britain had on it, but with all my respect, Tommy, I think this has more to do with the confluence of the history and cultural elements of Norway as it's personified in an individual rather than the specific ideology as to whether he was left-wing or non-left-wing. He just wanted to reimpose the notion of multiculturalism didn't work. The white man is suppressed and displaced, and basically the white man has to reaffirm his position in the world by force, and that being politically correct, being peaceful, and at the UN is no longer success for but the...
All right. Well, expanding, Dr. Brzezinski, holding on for just a moment, expanding, Norway killing prompts crackdown on Brits opposed to immigration. That's Infowars.com. Here's another Infowars.com headline, Steve Watson. Norway killer warns of two more cells preparing attacks. So we're going to see what comes out of this. But at the end of the day, this violence is only going to be used to take more of the general public's liberties. Tommy, thank you for the call from Norway. Please call again. Dean in New York, you're on the air. Any questions or comments?
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking the call. Seems that the investigative journalist side of you is really trying to, you know, fit this single data point into the overall trend of demonizing the white terrorist. But again, to Mr. Pachenik's point, which is that this person, if I took time, I read his manifesto, not all of it, of course, but I did spend a lot of time reading it, and he is calculated, methodical. He knew exactly what he was doing. Whether he received any support from outside is almost irregardless.
Well, he says he had the support, and my issue is, look at this giant police state we've built, but doesn't keep us safe from terrorists. The answer is more guns to protect ourselves. Keep your hands off my liberties. Dr. Pachenik, comments on what the caller...
Alex, Dean is correct. This gentleman hit it right on the head. He is so calculating. He is so purposeful. He is so knowledgeable. Isn't that correct? I mean, this man has been able to assimilate what I studied in propaganda theory, every issue on propaganda, unlike any other person, without getting sloppy about it. And furthermore, he is very clear as to his intention, his cold-bloodedness, and the fact that force will be supreme. It's an old revolutionary concept, but I agree with your listener. He's right on the mark. Absolutely. There's evidence here. Do you agree that this man is insane or crazy?
Dean?
Insane or crazy. He spent 9 years and approximately €310,000 in a calculated effort to pull this off. He knew exactly what he's doing. He even says in his manifesto that cruelty is important. It's an element of the attack of the individual to show the cultural Marxist, more or less, of who he's fighting against. He's attacking his own people in order to wake them up, okay? And again, it's a logical fallacy.
Dean, it sounds like you support him or you like it.
No, I do not support him, absolutely. It's abhorrent. It's like Pachenik said, he is the most dangerous type of terrorist. He operates on his own. He's cold calculated. And if he was enabled to create a virtual terrorist network, that would make this phony Unabomber, all these phony guys like the FBI, they take these idiots, right, and they put bombs in their pants and they put them on planes.
Yeah, no, drugged out idiots that can't even tie their shoelaces. No, I hear you, Dean. Thank you so much. Let's
Dean is really hit it on the on the head, and I think your audience is getting it very much. Dean, you're right on the mark. This is far more dangerous than anything I've ever seen. And believe me, I have worked many, many hundreds of terrorist groups and interrogated a lot of terrorists. This man is an individual I would like to question and interrogate and spend time with, because I don't think our intelligence community at this point, quite frankly, is really that capable, or is neither is the Norwegian or the British intelligence, to really understand what he's about. I think Dean had a much better understanding than what's been coming out. Thank you, Dean. I agree with you. Not because it happens to, but you understand it. I think your audience really gets it. This man is far more dangerous than anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah, well, people better keep their hands off my guns and my liberty and my freedom. Bottom line, they're coming after folks that are against the New World Order right now, using this guy, and it stinks to high heaven. And again, I saw the crescendo building up to imminent Whitey attacks on Thursday, and I'm telling you, I see scripting written all over this. Now, they may have known about him, let him do it, protected him. The other cells may be, double agents. We don't know, but this has got a lot of earmarks that make me very suspicious. But it's good to have a debate and look into it, and I do see the points that Dr. Pechenik is making. Brenda in Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you, Alex? I wanted to ask Dr. Pechenik just what you were bringing up just now, your point about gun grabbing. I live in gun grabbing Illinois, where you can't believe how hard it is. But anyway, I was wondering if he had seen the latest propaganda piece from DHS on Thursday, which you were going over, and if he, sees any of the ties to this coming back the states anywhere, maybe not necessarily with this man.
Yeah, the DHS rolling out white al-Qaeda videos and showing the minorities reporting on the white devils. This was released about a week before these new events, and I've gotten the internal training manuals where they're telling every police department the veterans will IED you, the veterans are the terrorist, we've got to prepare mass arrest of the evil pro-America people. I mean, that's my point, is this is going on behind the scenes. You say government's incompetent. They've either competently predicted the real threat or they're staging it. Which is it?
Well, I won't get it. I think Brenda's hit something that's very important. This man will resonate with a lot of disaffected veterans who will come back. There is a real issue now that, unfortunately, the veterans are not being treated at the VA. They have no jobs. They've been displaced from their homes. We've talked about this repeatedly. Our government is not addressing this issue. Instead of worrying about their being targeted as terrorists, the real issue is going to be we have veterans with PTSD, organic brain damage, and we're doing nothing about it. The VA and, unfortunately, General Shinseki has not been competent. I'm unfortunate because I was an admirer of his, but he is not good at running the VA. I have heard too much from other doctors that their veterans were being shortchanged, particularly on these issues.
Okay, and but what do you make of them? Let's go ahead.
Repercussions here, but not a systematic repercussion, but it will resonate with groups of white people and others that feel disaffected, that feel unappreciated, and have no jobs. And the reality is, by the way, there are no jobs, and we are disaffected, and the system isn't working. So there is a basis of reality for which he taps in. He, this terrorist, taps into the reality of what's happening in Europe and the United States, because brilliant propaganda is not distorted propaganda. And that's, unfortunately, Alex, where you and I differ. American propaganda with a stand down and a false flag is distorted propaganda in a way it's very amateurish. His is brilliant in that it taps into the very emotional core of the disaffection that
all you're saying you've got to tell the truth and connect that to your terrorism if you're going to do it. All right, Brenda, we'll try to cram in a few more for Dr. Pechenik. We'll love to have him back soon on politics. Talking about setting up some type of super Congress, which is martial law, the leaders of both parties, and just say, we'll make the decision. The rest of Congress doesn't vote on this. Obama's talking about using the 14th Amendment against the Congress. And if you go to the Drudge Report, we'll put it up on screen right now. We're going to get this up at Infowars.com. Doing things my own way is very tempting. And that's a quote out of a CNN article of the president talking about just doing whatever he wants. And that's the great danger once society starts unraveling because of corruption, is to then just give more and more power to the very corrupt institutions. To sum it up, the controllers are accelerating our path, our collision course with collapse. They're not changing course, they're accelerating. Let's jam in a few final calls here for Dr. Steve Pachenik, who I am going to get back up the next week or so specifically on his views on what I just mentioned, that the Democrats, the Republicans, at the leadership level, they're all a bunch of corrupt scum, and we are in deep trouble. Tanner in Texas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I wanted to go over something that I personally refer to as cyber terrorism, or what I believe to be cyber terrorism. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Yeah. You're on air.
Okay. Well, there was a report that came on Bloomberg in December on the $3.3 trillion in backdoor bailouts. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Now it's up to $16 trillion.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was set private by somebody, and I'm not saying I know who it was, but I took a video of it. It's up on my YouTube channel, Let's Talk Politics with an X. There's no.
Now, hold on. Set private by who? On Bloomberg?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yes, it was. I didn't upload a version that was legible until the 16th. Oh, this.
Okay, 16th, Tanner. Yeah. Tanner, is there a specific point here? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, there is. Okay. On the 16th. On the 17th, the view counts were really low. So I went in and I started spamming the second most viewed video. I said, the reason the view counts are so low is because this video, they don't want it going viral. They don't want you to see that they're censoring backdoor bailouts, because that's pretty bad, you know? Okay, within an hour and 15 minutes, it went from 60,000 views to 125,000 views. So fast that they didn't even catch up the first most viewed, and I proved that it was because of what I did, because somebody left a comment on my video.
I got to let you go at that point. There's all sorts of stuff going on with YouTube, and it's well known that there have been a lot of backdoor bailouts now, $16 trillion to foreign banks and domestic companies like MSNBC, and it's a very serious problem, again, of corruption that Dr. Pachenik brings up. And, you know, the fact that they don't care now that you know that the federal government's funding a lot of national media and that no one gets in trouble for it, or nobody gets in trouble for all the other corruption, it just shows how systemic all this is. Dr. Pachenik?
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, the issue that you and I brought out in June about the corruption, that we predict the corruption of the British government with Murdoch, and Murdoch has been absolutely abysmal. I've tracked him since I was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under Bush Sr. in 1991, and I already had questions about his involvement and his corruptions in Asia, and then he moved to the United States and got an American citizenship very quickly and started up buying papers. There's no question in my mind that if anything, if there's any bravery among our congressmen or senators, they should have an investigation, and the FBI should open up an investigation. There's no question in my mind you will find the same kind of corruption, the same kind of collusion you saw in Britain here in the United States, and particularly his assistance of Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of State, when she was running for the Senate. She had depended very heavily on him for advice and money. So I think you have all kinds of corruption going on, both in the Democratic Republican Party. From my point of view, it's no longer legitimate government. I think we're so dysfunctional, the president dysfunctional, the whole system's dysfunctional. We need a third option. And that's where you, Alice, comes in, where we have to discuss about a third option. And your formidable audience understands what the problem's in. It doesn't have to get into social conservatism. It has to get into a party which has to deal with pragmatism. And how do we get the United States to maintain its republic while in the meantime we're an imperial power all over the world and our military is displayed all over the world, but we have no jobs, we have no strategy, no tactics, and no leadership on both sides. You have men who are basically panderers, you have people who are sociopaths, you have women who are screaming about absolutely nothing, and everybody is just talking about nonsense. And we have to get back and get rid of all this corruption and basically restart the government on a pragmatic point of view, building jobs, which we can do very easily, bringing back our foreign companies from overseas, particularly China and India. And if they don't want to come back, then we'll tax them and let them go.
Dr. Pechenik, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll talk to you again very soon.